After you're done listening to the Rush Hour, check out The Tradie Show, the podcast for tradies at lifestyletradie.com.au. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush
Hour. Welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell Saylor. Candace in for Wendell, and follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour. Triple M is our handle. Jude, you are looking fine this afternoon. How are you feeling?
Mate, really good and great to see you, Candace. This morning I had my both daughters, their open day at the primary school, so ducked in to see them sing and nice. Do a few different things. It was all Beatles theme. And I always look for the kids that are just really oblivious to it, not really wanting to sing, not to be a part of it. They're always mumbling under their breath or hands in the pocket.
The nose pickers.
And then you look for the stage mums like my wife and, you know, a bit of the song and dance sort of stuff. But yeah. it was so much fun. The kids are awesome.
My kids are more likely to have the jazz hands, a bit like yours.
You're the jazz
But, gee, there's something come across my desk and it is startling information coming out of a dog groomer's in the eastern suburbs, Candace. Is this true that your dog has been banned
not
from
Cookie.
The local.
Not Cookie.
Cookie literally has got the wanted poster up. What's happened?
Well, the day started off really good. I put my new Triple M trackies on and the socks.
You are rocking the new trackies.
You beauty. Like, what a day. You know, I just had a spring in my step, ticked a few boxes, got some things done around the house, and I thought, I'll take Cookie to the groomers. Went to go pick her up, and the lady goes, "You Cookie's mum?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "We have big issues with Cookie. Oh. Cookie's not welcome back here."
What sort of dog is Cookie?
Cookie's a cavoodle. Cookie is...
How is a cavoodle banned?
A one-year-old cavoodle who has been at this groomer's plenty of times before. Okay. They said she's progressively, her behaviour is getting progressively worse, which I find really hard to believe because none of my kids ever behave badly. but I want to know, is this okay? Like, is it okay to ban a dog from a groomer's? Do they have the right...
It's her business, and I suppose it's a health and safety thing because with the clippers and, you know, the thought of getting bitten or nipped, I suppose, gives her.
But I went in there, and it was like Cookie was sedated.
Dogs are a reflection of their owners, though, surely.
Come on, Jude. That's hitting a bit below the belt. But I'm offended. I am really offended.
So you should
this
be.
This is our local groomers. Where do I take Cookie now?
Yeah.
Poor Cookie, in the next few months, is going to be looking like...
Dishevelled.
This is not okay. This is not fair.
No,
I'm sure there's enough eastern suburbs groomers that will take Cookie.
Not in
Maroubra. I cannot believe it. A cavoodle's been banned.
Well, that's true. So anyway.
Surely they've had...
I'm filthy.
And so you should be.
Yeah, I am.
Let's not give that business any more love or dislove. Poor thing.
What a way to wreck your day.
Exactly. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Candace. Time now for this.
Reedy's Mail.
Yeah, so much to talk about in the game of rugby league. What about the Tigers? They've met with the NRL about getting the result changed against the Cowboys. Reedy, what's the latest?
Yeah, that's right, Gussie Lee. How'd you been tell us? The Tigers chair met with Peter Vlandis this morning. They went through what the report into that game and what happened in the final minutes of that game in Townsville. Obviously, they admitted to some mistakes. But look, talking to Lee, there was no appetite from the NRL out of that meeting to overturn the result of that game. So what that means now is, Lee will go back to his full board and they'll make a decision about whether they press the go button on legal action to try and get that game overturned. So, I mean, they obviously got the answers. They wanted some answers out of the NRL. They got the answers this morning. They got some answers they liked, but the one big answer they didn't like was the fact the NRL wasn't willing to overturn the game. So we now see whether they, as I said, press the go button on legal action.
Reedy, speaking of the Cowboys, Jeremiah Nanai, the 19-year-old superstar, can negotiate with other clubs from November 1. What update have you got for the listeners?
Yeah, look, the Cowboys are about to step it up with Jeremiah Nanai. I think his management's flying up there in a couple of weeks to try and, the Cowboys are trying to resolve a contract with him there. Look, they're anticipating he's going to get offers anywhere from $650,000 to $800,000 a year. Yeah. He's on not even half that at the moment, obviously, but after Origin and what he's done this year, he's going to get a really, really significant pay rise. And if he goes to November 1, there's going to be an absolute bidding war for him. So the Cowboys are hopeful they can knock it over in the next couple of weeks. And when his manager flies up in a couple of weeks, they get a deal done and get him off the market because he is a dead set superstar.
Reedy, what's going on with David Clemmer? Could the Knights actually sack him? For like swearing at a trainer, and if he does, which clubs could be in the mix for him?
Well, it's been a bit of a change of mood, DeSavo. From what I'm hearing now, there's an outside chance that Dave could be back at training as early as tomorrow, and there's a sense that the worms turned a little bit in this one, and while there might have been an appetite early on, for Dave to be gone. I get the feeling now that the mood's changed a little bit. I mean, we've seen so many people come out in his defence. Now, Cameron Smith this morning, Josh Reynolds talked about how this stuff happens all the time. And I think there's a sense, I get the sense, the club's realised they've probably potentially overreacted a little bit and gone too far. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dave's back at training pretty soon. Look, he won't be sacked. I'd be stunned if he's sacked.
Plenty going on at the Knights, isn't there?
Plenty going on. There's been a bit of talk he won't play again this year, but again, I'd be surprised if that was the case as well. I think this may turn out to be a little bit of a storm in a teacup.
Adam O'Brien needs him.
Well, he needs his own job be sorted out. I heard you on NRL 360 last night, Reedy, about he's already won Clemmer, the New South Wales player, the Newcastle's player of the year already. Like, by street.
5 rounds to go. And that was a week ago, I think. He'd already had it locked up. He couldn't lose it. So he's been their best player by the length of the straight this year. Now, they've struggled. Obviously, they've had a lot of good players. But a lot of people were surprised Dave wasn't in the Origin team for Origin 3. So they can't afford to lose a guy like him. They've got a bit of a tight salary cap, and that's an issue for them. But you can't afford to be letting guys like Dave Clemmer go. And I think they've realised that. Well, my understanding is there's a bit of a sense they may have realised that maybe it's gone a little bit too far and things need to be toned down a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of common sense. Thanks, Reedy. Appreciate it, mate. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
No worries. See you guys.
There you go. Reedy there. How good is this? People power has worked, guys. The Sydney siders are rejoiced and they are celebrating the fact that a kebab joint what got taken to court by the council. They wanted them to shut up shop at midnight.
But they went,
you know what? It's too early for a kebab. We want to go to 3 a.m. And the council said, you know what? You go past midnight, every second of that, we're going to charge you $6,000. So the kebab shop went to the council and they've had it cleared. They can now do their kebabs to 3 a.m.
You know what? Midnight,
exactly where you want.
Midnight is way too early because you're still on the dance floor and you're not thinking of food then. It's about that 1 or 2 o'clock that you've had a belly full and you think, geez, I'd love a kebab.
What's your favourite kebab?
Oh, I go for the chicken. Old chicken kebab with garlic sauce.
Mixed grill.
You know what it is for me?
You're a mixed grill man.
I love the conversations that you have when you're in line waiting for your for your kebab to be made. There's some lifelong friendships made over a kebab.
Yeah, good call. What's yours? You're a mixed grill man?
I am a mixed grill. But it reminds me of a kebab shop down in Central Station. There's one
in the city here?
Yeah, in the city here. And we used to go just to be an annual trip on a Monday to Scoobar, which is no longer, sadly. It's a backpacker joint that was there back in the day. And it was famous for crab racing and also backpackers probably with crabs. We down after a kebab downstairs in there having a few more drinks. And we entered all the little crab racing, those little sand crabs, and a couple of the guys didn't go to the kebab joint. They must have gone to a Chinese restaurant.
Another excellent option.
And they came in with their own entrant. They'd bought one of the big mud crabs.
From the tank?
The big tank ones.
Wow. they don't look very quick, those puppies. They look like they've given up on life.
They've come the entry and dropped it straight on the table. But it was a crazy night. I'm silly. I must have been a bit of an idiot. I got kicked out of Scuba, which for a backpacker place. I think I cleared the dance floor for some reason.
Yeah.
But as I was exiting, someone's pulled a freeze master, which was a game we played a lot where someone would put their hands on their heads and everyone in that whole group has to remain still. The first person moves, has to scull.
Okay.
And as I got kicked out, they pulled the freeze master. So the bouncer is shoving me up the stairs and I'm frozen the whole way up and he's pretty much lifting me up. Idiot. Just an idiot.
You're a
Nothing
good, man.
Good
You're
happens good after
man.
Midnight.
No, that is true. Indian Home Diner, located on Oxford Street, just a few steps from Paddington's bustling pubs. You are open till 3 a.m. That's wonderful. Let's open it up. What happened on a night out? Tell us your story on a night out because nothing good happens after midnight. Just tell us about your big night out off the back of a council being beaten by an Indian kebab joint. They wanted them to shut at midnight. They said no, nothing good.
Power to the people.
Exactly, power to the people. Now it's 3 a.m. that they get to finish, which is perfect kebab eating hours.
So good. Kebab, slice of pizza, everything tastes good at that time.
What about a hot dog with a little bit of cheese and onion as well? That used to be the go back in the day. What about Danny? Tell us about your big night out, Danny.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I went out to see some mates playing their band at the Cambridge Hotel in Newey.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I remember was down in a ton of grog. And the following morning, it was about 5:30, I woke up on some random front veranda stark naked.
Were they home?
I've got no idea what happened to my clothes or my ID or anything. I had to snowdrop so that I could get home.
What's snowdrop mean?
Pinching clothes off people's clothesline. Oh.
Danny, you're a hero of this show. That's magnificent. What about Sophie and Redfern? G'day, Soph.
G'day, guys.
How you doing, Sophie?
Tell us about your big night out.
Okay, so back when I was a teenager, we had a superhero-themed party. After midnight, I lost the bet, so ended up doing a run through Newtown past the cop shop wearing nothing but a cape and high heels.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like fun.
That is a good night out.
It was. Three coppers saw me as well. Didn't even bother stopping. They were just cheering.
They cheered you on.
So if I don't believe you, I need to see the photo evidence. Let's speak to Paul. G'day, Paul.
How are you, Paul?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. Not too bad.
Good on you, mate. Tell us about your big night out.
Mate, I ended up falling into a bank, the Bendigo Bank on the Central Coast.
What do you mean you fell into it?
Well, it was a massive night, as we're talking about, and I was walking home and I decided I needed to pee. So from the video footage that the police showed me the next day, I've just wandered up to the front door of the bank and went to lean on the door and pull my zipper down, and it turns out the cleaners hadn't locked the door, so I fell face first into the bank. And then I proceeded to use the bank's toilet. Alarms went off everywhere. I bolted out of there, and then the next day, because I was only early 20s, the next day I woke up and I'm thinking, shit, did that really happen? And
yeah,
I was talking to my mum about it, and mum said, you've got to go to the police, like, or go to the bank, you know? So
square it away,
I went back to the bank. This is on a Friday morning, and I'm in line, you know, I'm thinking, God, what am I going to say to these people? And anyway, I got to the teller and I said, look, I was in your bank earlier. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, it was about 2 a.m. And she's like, there was a security breach. Let me get my manager. So next thing, I'm in the manager's office and two police come in and take me down the station. And mate, they thought I was a bit of celebrity. They actually said, people planned this for 5 years and you wanted in for a pee.
You get away with it, okay, Paul? I hope you did, mate. Thanks for all the calls we couldn't get to as well. Back. Let's talk about this situation. Adelaide Crows pre-season camp 2018 with Eddie Betts. Let's have a listen.
When you look back on it, it's kind of think, what the hell were you doing? What? Why? And to be honest, it was one game, the 2017 grand final. We lost that. Well, the best team in the competition. They wanted to up the game. They wanted to make us mentally strong. They wanted to make us resilient and a lot tougher in our mind. And I said to the playing group, and, you know, aren't we not resilient enough? Our coach was murdered. We stuck through this pain. We were resilient. We were strong. We were tough. We were mentally tough. We had to get back and play footy again. That's resilient. That's tough. We didn't need to bring people, outside people, to come in to make us mentally tough. And we were already a strong, great environment and a team that really cared for one another.
Yeah, AFL 360 last night, the 350 game of the veteran, the legend.
He's a champion. Absolutely love Eddie Betts. And you know, you could see and hear from his voice just the distress that this had caused. So it was a camp around mental resilience after they had been beaten in the grand final. And from all reports, I mean, they had these counsellors counselling the players at the camp and then getting some of their deepest thoughts and then just playing that back to them. And Eddie, you know, released a book saying that things were yelled at me that I disclosed to the camp's counsellors about my upbringing, and all these people present heard these things. And he's just exhausted and drained and distressed about the details that were being shared back at him and just played back at him. And there's been a stench around this training camp ever since it occurred, and even the way there's just this belated apology from the AFL that it's gone on. There's been investigations, and there's the AFLPA have said we're going to try and open it up and work out what's happened again, and it just shouldn't happen. I mean, I just feel for Eddie that he's had to sort of carry this, and as well as the other players. And no, I asked you, Candice, you've sort of been in those sort of SAS sort of experiences as well.
I mean, I find this really uncomfortable to hear. I know a lot of sporting teams and organisations go to either New Zealand or do these SAS style of camps to try to bring out, you know, promote resilience and everything. But you don't have to insult people. You don't need to berate them. You don't need to do all these things to build resilience. You can, you know, these guys are athletes. You can do hard training sessions. You can make them sleep deprived. There's so many other things that you can do. I don't like what went down there, and it obviously has had a lasting effect on these players.
Yeah, it certainly appalling. Has. Yeah, it's appalling, and someone like Eddie Best does not deserve it. So thanks, Jude. Thanks, Candace. Time now for this.
In 325 games and two premierships for the Sydney Swans, Jude Bolton learned how to do two things really well. Tackle people and get hit in the head really hard.
It's Bolton again.
Let's do one of those now. This is Jude Tackles.
Yeah, love it when you fire up, Jude. What's got under your claw this week, mate?
So, guys, these have been out for a bit now, but I want to get them on your radar. The famous Ray-Ban sunglasses have released a special edition. Now, I was particularly intrigued that these sunnies have an HD camera placed in the frames. I see this as just a poor decision by a well-established company. What might look like a cool gadget in a Bond film for when they're snooping out a suspect or looking to foil a villain in a siege scene? Perhaps even Davey Warner could wear them in a BBL negotiations just to suss out and secure the right contract. These so-called smart glasses are bloody ridiculous. In fact, it's a dumb decision to allow them even to hit the market. Adding to this, they've collaborated with formerly Facebook, Meta. Now, they don't want anything to do with your data, do they? Suddenly, the facial recognition component of these frames' embedded HD camera makes this potentially dangerous and no doubt impacts some people's privacy. Yep, this shit quickly turns creepy. Not like Gussie sliding to DM style creepy. I'm talking the criminal stuff, the unsuspecting people, particularly younger, more vulnerable members of our community, actually being photographed. And this is all on the back of a stupid marketing decision by Ray-Ban to release these sunglasses. Keep them limited to Matt Damon in another Bourne movie. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the sunnies in their original form. Simply put, they're a classic. Mm. I've lost many pairs in the back of a cab or sat by a pool with the one-armed bandits having snapped them somewhere on holiday trying to still look cool. And if you're taking photos, you want an HD camera. But don't mix them both. The only exception to that HD camera is that if you're snapping Gussie by the pool in his budgies with his self-proclaimed massive bush hanging out the top, let it go. Bolton
and
out.
And my big nuts as well.
Thank you, Jude. I agree with you. That was awesome.
Yeah, well done, big fella. You're getting better and better each week. But what about this, guys? A hotel chain has introduced talking pillows for those lonely nights.
Yeah,
they've introduced the talking pillows to a select number of its properties to keep its patrons company. The pillows have a press here button that patrons can use to activate the voice. The voice will work to comfort the patrons. Maybe they can be tailored sort of to each person.
Yeah.
Would that be nice? Would you like
so
that?
Like whispering sweet nothing so you
maybe,
go to bed? Like,
maybe.
Or is it just sort of white noise? What are they, you know?
Well, it depends. There's a whole lot of different things. You can have like a sporting one if you like, so they can talk you through the sporting news and that type of stuff. And then there's ones like, you're okay, you're going to sleep well tonight, you're missing your family, but she'll
just
be right.
Positive affirmations.
That
just
type of
pump
stuff.
You up a bit.
But, well, I actually had a bit of spare time today and I spoke to the hotel.
Did you?
Yes.
What?
And they kindly sent me one over for Jude.
No.
Really?
Yes.
Let's have a listen.
Hey, Jude. Jump in. It's time for you to chill out. It must be hard work being a jack-off. All trades. A jack-off all trades, I mean. Sorry. Sporting legend. Radio host. And actor. Remember that time you starred on Neighbours? Now playing audio.
Hi, D. I'm Jude.
Oh, and don't forget the dancing. You're an amazing dancer. You're such a cool guy, Jude. If Entourage was real, you'd be the real-life Ari Gold.
That pillow is in the shower getting thrown out or washed down the sink or thrown out the window.
My wife would like that, especially if it was your voice.
What about the voice?
Beautiful.
Did you do that voice?
No, that wasn't me. That was, mate.
You spoke to them.
I spoke to them. I said, just give me your best. And that's what they delivered.
Fantastic.
Like, very well tailored. It's, yeah.
They were pretty accurate.
Time now to talk to this absolute legend.
Next guest is an Aussie legend of the highest order.
So you want to be a champion?
She's the reigning Olympic champion in the pool, taking home the gold in the women's 200 and 400 metre freestyle at Tokyo. She's achieved what every athlete dreams of, an Olympic world record. She's currently the fastest ever in the women's 200 metre freestyle. She's done it again, storming home with the gold in the 800 metre freestyle in Birmingham. She also has a chicken named after her that Jude will tell her about shortly. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Ariane Titmus.
Ariane, welcome to the Rush Hour. Before we touch on your incredible Commonwealth Games achievements, I want to know, tell us all about the Athletes Village and your roomie.
Hey guys, Athletes Village. I mean, it's pretty good. We're actually staying in a university this time, so it's very spread out. We've actually had to walk up a hill every single time we've come back from the dining hall, which has been a bit disappointing. But I had six girls in my room.
Six?
I've had really, really great. Yeah, so we had like a bedroom each and an ensuite each, which we're pretty spoiled this year. But six in the apartment, which is pretty standard, but it was good.
Ariana, it's Jude Bolden. Congratulations on this last year and a half or so. You've just had this meteoric rise and all the hard work has just paid off. How special has it been this last period, particularly since Tokyo?
Oh, I mean, it's been really special. I think that since Tokyo, getting back in the water, it was tough after having two and a half months off, but I've been really enjoying myself and really enjoying training, and I was so looking forward to these games. I think that the Commonwealth Games are such a fun meet, and it really brings the whole team together. And I mean, in the pool, we completely dominate. So it's fun to be a part of a team that is doing so well. And we absolutely killed it this week.
Do you get a little bit of time off now? Do you get a chance to sort of relax and look back at the wonderful moments you've had in this last week or so? Or is it on to bigger and better things?
I'm actually going off on a holiday. My best friend's meeting me in London, and we're having nearly a month in Europe. So I'm so looking forward to that. I haven't been on a holiday in such a long time. So I'm going to be completely switching off, not worrying about swimming. And then when I get home, it's back into it, but slowly.
Half of Australia's over there at the moment. My daughter's over there. They're having a hell of a time. So just look after yourself, and you certainly deserve that.
Can you tell us a little bit about the tattoo that you have on your foot and the significance and how it helps you race?
Yeah, so after the Olympics, I mean, like most people, I went and got the ring tattooed on me. But I had an idea for a while. Ever since I was younger, I feel like I was, you know, a very fearless racer, and I, you know, was never afraid to take it to the big girls and go out hard. And so I had, you know, the idea to get tattooed on the foot that I look down at when I dive, fearless. So that's the last thing that I see before I race. And it kind of sticks in my mind and, you know, reminds me who I am and you know, how I want to race and how I want to be as a person also outside of swimming. That's really important to me.
And one of your training partners, obviously Molly O'Callaghan, had an incredible Comm Games as well. Tell us about some of the training sessions that you've had under Dean Boxer with her and how you push each other.
Oh, Molly had such an amazing meet. She's been on the rise for a year or so now, and it's very competitive in training, but we love it. I mean, we're pushing each other every day. We do, you know, a lot of different things because obviously I got up to the 800 and the 200's her maximum, but it's great. I mean, training's certainly tough. I think, you know, we come to these meets knowing that we're completely prepared for the races that we have, and we're able to bring it home strong. And I believe that Dean prepares us better than anyone.
Mm. Ariane, you are one of Australia's best ever swimmers. You're incredible at what you do, but I'm hearing that you're not so incredible at home and that you pay your sister to clean your room. Is this true?
Look, it doesn't happen very often, but
come on.
There's been a couple of times where I've been so busy, like I've had so much on, and my room's still, I wouldn't say it's messy, it's just wardrobe, just clean clothes that I haven't put away. So
how much are we talking?
I may, $50.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, $50 to put the clothes away. I hate cleaning the room. That's my like biggest thing that I hate. So she takes it.
It's a good result for her. We want to play you a little bit of audio here, not of you winning gold, but Jude Bolton, one of our co-hosts here, he's got a chicken named after you. Let's have a listen.
Here's our psyche chicken. By popular demand, she's ready to tip. The Origin winner, she's already tipped the first two results. Off you go. Let's go.
Let's go.
She's gone straight to the blues. Good girl. Let's go, boys. That's my two daughters who absolutely adore you, Ariane. They're both swimmers. They love it. But we're all so proud of you and the way you've performed as well.
Oh, thanks, guys. That's really special. I mean, I think for me, like I look back on when I was younger, looking up to, you know, older swimmers that I used to look up to. So, yeah, it feels really surreal now that I'm in that position. But I mean, hopefully I paint a good picture.
You do. Fantastic. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us as well. You no doubt be very, very busy now the meet is done and dusted. So enjoy your month off in Europe. Have a wonderful time. Look after yourself and we'll talk to you
Paris
soon.
Paris next.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thank you. An absolute legend. All about this quiet quitting. Now, if you don't know what it's about, it's a new trend on TikTok, and it's got TikTok calling. It's basically doing the bare minimum, you know, not going above and beyond.
That's what you've done for years, isn't it?
Just sort of getting
so like,
through.
Like most men around the house.
Well, it's not so much at the house, though. It's like it's at work, though, doing this. Sort of.
Oh, like literally just checking. Check the box and I've done.
That's on the border of laziness, of just doing enough, getting 51% or 50%, not trying to excel, not trying to be the best, not going for a promotion. Apparently it's a thing now and more people are into it because of people working at home.
They want the work-life balance though now, Candace, and they're saying like doing the 9-to-5, no calls afterwards, no, not even checking the email, like just trying to get their balance
back. Okay, so it's not about rorting the system. It's about, or is it?
Look, I believe it's rorting the system. Jude, and good on Jude for doing it.
I always under-promise and over-deliver. That's what I do. Other joke.
No, well, Jude is putting a very positive spin, you know. Let's get the work-life balance going and I'm not checking after 5 o'clock.
It's all about the rort, really.
But employers are hating it. But,
the girl from Maroubra knows exactly what it is about.
But employers are hating it because they're literally just doing the bare minimum so they don't get sacked. But just
picking up your pay packet,
calling it quiet quitting.
You're still performing your duties, but you're no longer subscribing to the hustle culture mentality that work has to be your life. The reality is it's not, and your worth as a person is not defined by your labour. Now, that sounds very much like a rort to me
comes
to doing the bare minimum. So we're throwing it out there on 133353. How did you lose your job? How did you quit? How were you fired? I got fired from my first job as a waiter. It was at a really posh restaurant up in Maroonga, and my best girlfriend, actually Nino, who you know really well, Candace, his now wife, great friend of mine, said, you know what, come to this restaurant. You got plenty of personality. We'll put you at the front. Well, I got put into a situation where I had to give bread rolls, but rather than just hand them out and put them on the bread plate, I had to use like a technique. I'm not sure what it is. There is a name for it.
They're not tongs.
Yeah, no, tongs would have been great. It was like having to use like a spoon and a fork.
Oh, yeah, yes.
You know, yeah. You sort of pinch them and you put them out. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in a certain way. It was a French cafe, it was like restaurant. Anyway, the rolls were going everywhere, hitting blokes in the head, dropping on the floor and that sort of stuff. And the bloke said, really kindly and stuff, but gave me my pay pack. And I went, oh, no, I'm working tomorrow night as well. And he's like,
No, you're not, mate.
thank you. You seem like a nice kid and everything, but we're moving on. How did you quit or why were you fired?
Mate, I got fired the first job. I got fired. We were working for a real estate company. One of my mates, his father's owned a real estate company. It was before realestate.com or anything like that. So it was all pamphlets. And so I've had to take around all these pamphlets on open houses and
hand them into
the letterboxes so people could get to the open house on the weekend and try and buy the places. And I was just got a bit bored by the time I was walking around the streets and me and my mate were just having a chat.
How long had you been doing it before you got bored? How many hours?
Maybe 40 minutes or so, walking around the local neighbourhood.
Okay.
And then sure enough, I'm putting a few in there and then we're going, okay, this is next one's going in the recycling bin here and then we're just throwing a big stack of them. And I'm not sure if that house got sold or not, but let's just say that once his dad found out about it,
How did he find out about it? Someone say, oh, there's like 1,000 of these things in my bin.
And there's his real estate company and that's his name. It's on the real estate company. So
see you later, Jude.
I know exactly who handed
out
that particular house.
Oh, yeah.
So I was gone.
I thought Jude would have been much better than that.
I was cooked.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised.
Were you ever sacked from anything, Candace?
Not really. No. I haven't had a lot of jobs, to be honest.
So you've basically been Iron Woman into...
But I did a bit of... coach people how to paddle. I did a bit of real estate, but I've always been pretty diligent at my work.
Oh, really?
So, no, I've never really been sacked.
You're pretty good at your work as well.
You're fired. Get out of here.
James Graham, part of the Triple M, call tonight of the Roosters and Broncos in the house. Jimmy, how are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you going?
Mate, lovely to see you. Before we get into the weekend, Jimmy, and tonight in particular, what have you made of this David Clemmer situation?
Yeah, it seems strange. I personally, looking at it, there's got to be more to it. There has to be more to it because this can't be in a reaction from the Newcastle Knights from this one event. So I don't know whether Coach O'Brien is perhaps, you know, there's been a lot of focus on them this season. They've underachieved by their own high standards. And I don't know if O'Brien's trying to send a message to say, this is what we're about now. I'm your leader. You do as I say. And Clem has gone against that. Because if this was an isolated incident, there's no way he'd be before, you know, the board having to explain himself. I think most of us that have been around sporting teams, you know, isolated incidents happen where, you know, best players have, you know, what's the right word? They'll have a conflict with their coach or a trainer, but that gets resolved. That gets dealt with in house. Mm. So this has either been an ongoing issue, or O'Brien's put his land in the sign moment, said no more of this BS. And Clem has gone over that line. This can't be an isolated incident at all.
It's interesting you say that as well, because O'Brien, during his last game, the press conference, that was interesting in itself.
Well, he had to backtrack on that, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah, it did seem strange. I think, again, that was media making more of it than what it really was. He was just defending himself. Defending himself to say, look, I know what success looks like. But I think the media sort of...
You know what? If he said exactly what you just said, we would have got it.
Yeah.
You know, I know what success looks like and give me time to get there. We would have got it.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an element to that, and it just felt like he was kept digging the hole even deeper as he was trying to get out of it. And sometimes the best thing to do is just shut up and give a short answer. But, yeah, it wasn't to be.
Roosters Broncos tonight, no Pat Garrigan. Kobe Hetherington comes in. They gave up 32 points to the Broncos against the Tigers last week. Is their defence a little bit suspect? How do you see this game playing out against the Roosters?
I really like the Roosters. I think they've had some sloppy losses this year by their own admission, but I really like how they're playing this time of year. They were really competitive against Penrith a couple of weeks ago, and then after that game, they've gone on. I think they've won three on a row. They've looked really good. Joey Manu in great form. Mm. James Tedesco continues to push the barriers of what being an elite NRL fullback looks like. He is, it's almost embarrassing how good he is, because you forget, like, you just take it for granted. Mm. He's playing nines out of tens every single week, but it's just a normal game for Teddy. He is so good. And I think with the way the Roosters they are, they've got, in my opinion, two of the best three games in the best three players in the game, in Tedesco and in Manu. I reckon they're coming into the finals the right time. And Brisbane, they were disappointing last week against the Tigers. I think they underestimated what the Tigers were going to bring, and Pat Carrigan's massive for them. Mm-hmm. He's a huge loss.
And tomorrow, Manly versus Para. So Manly, can they bounce back? But also Para, no Moses, and they've always struggled to bounce back as well after a huge win.
Well, you're frightened to fall in love with Parramatta.
They let you down.
Oh, you just, you know, they should win tomorrow. Yes. They should, because they were awesome against Penrith. Despite playing 12 men, the start of that game, they were sensational, but you're just so hesitant to go in and back them. But Manly, you know, a lot of drama away from the field, and we've been over that. But they actually, performance-wise, I thought they actually did quite well. It's just whether or not those lads, the six that are coming back into the team, not everybody's on the same page, just whether there's that togetherness, or the players that played the week before feel as though they've let them down.
Yeah, six out of seven of those famous seven are back into that Manly side, and a full house at Four Pines, the old Brookie as well. So it's going to be a wonderful atmosphere down there on the beaches. Jimmy, enjoy your call tonight of the
Good
Roosters
luck,
and Broncos. Love having you a part of our Triple M family as well, mate.
Cheers.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.